One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, friends. I really gotta stop singing. You know what? Okay. So the podcast coming up is going to be fantastic. It is with Eleanor Kerrigan, who I kind of like pined after in like a non-creepy way. I mean, I know I can tend to be creepy, but maybe it is creepy because I just said pined after. Cause she's a comedian that like she's not my friend, but like I just think she's hilarious, and I think she's probably one of my favorite female comedians of all time. And we work the same clubs a lot, and I've seen her perform a bunch of times, and we've been on the same shows. Additionally, she's also been incredibly nice to me. She's a little bit older than me. She had a long career. Not a long career. Well, I guess you'll hear it on the podcast, because she started comedy later in life. And Eleanor, by me saying you're older is not a slam, because you're gorgeous. She's also just fucking beautiful, too. Anyways, I idolized her a little bit because I think she's so funny and we'd be on the same shows together and all that. And she was also always so nice to me. Anyways, you're going to love this podcast. I resonate with her a lot. She has the same sort of like funny, but like grumpy personality that I do, except for I'm actually kind of positive as well. She's Irish, full Irish, and she comes from a huge Irish Catholic family, which I also resonate with because my dad was raised Irish Catholic, and he has like 100 siblings. Anyways, it's going to be a great podcast. But before we get into the podcast, I have to tell you that this morning I did something that I'm not proud of. So this morning I woke up, I was like, I'm going to do some work, but I was really tired. I was still in bed. And then my neighbors started blending whatever the hell they were blending at, I don't know, let's go with 6:45 a.m. And, you know, perhaps I was enraged, and I did something that I'm not proud of that I need to admit. In high school, I used to play the flute. Well, and I used that term loosely. It was more just like there were really no, in my like small town, there were options of like activities that were not actual schooling that you could do. Were basically like you could choose from like two sports, be in the band, and there was choir. Yeah, I guess that's about it. There must have been something else, but maybe like some sort of like book club. I don't know. Anyways, so I played the flute, not well. And I, for whatever reason, when I moved to LA, I brought my flute with me. And so this morning, as a way to get back at my neighbors, I decided to, you know, make magic happen. And that's me without like my hands on the keys, because it's hard to hold a microphone and play the flute. I mean, I'm kind of doing it. So it was inhumane. I brought the flute out after a long time. Then I was also never good at it. And I attempted to play a song, and I feel guilty now because I feel like I took it too far. They just blended for about 45 seconds. I played the flute for, I'm going to go with a solid 2 minutes, and terribly. And I just feel like that's like the waterboarding of getting back at your neighbors. And I feel guilty. Really, I do. And so, I wrote them a note and I put it on their door. It just said, I'm sorry. And I hope that they know. I hope that they don't think it was me playing the flute. I hope like one of the other people in the apartment building, they think it is. But then I also hope that they think whoever that person is a good person, because they put an I'm sorry note on their door. Anyways, all right, I want to give you show dates real quick. Show dates. Okay. Sorry. I get real hyper in the morning. And I've had no coffee. This is just me on just life adrenaline. Okay. So show dates. I will be at the Hollywood Laugh Factory on March 8th. You can buy tickets online. It's the Pretty Funny Women show with Lisa Sunstedt, who basically started my comedy career by, you know, teaching me to be funny in a class of amazing women. So that's March 8th in LA. And then on March 9th, I fly to Austin, but my show is not till March 10th. I'm doing a show in Austin, Texas at the Fourth Tap Brewing Co. Get your tickets. You get your tickets at the door, I think. Yeah, because it's a charity. Sorry. March 10th at Fourth Tap Brewing Co. in Austin, Texas. I'm most likely doing some sort of live podcast when I'm in Austin. Not totally sure. And then April. I don't have the dates yet, but if you follow me on Instagram or go to my website, rachelobriancomedy.com, you will see them when I finalize it. And Instagram is Rachel, RachelNobrien. I will be in Charleston and Greenville doing either stand-up or a live podcast. I haven't decided, but I'm booking them now. So I hope to meet you guys, and that will be like April 21 through 26 or just around then, or maybe April 19th through, I don't know, within those dates. And so it'd be so awesome if you guys came out. I'd love to meet you. I actually even plan to bring up audience members on stage. I have a little format I want to do. It won't involve the flute, I promise. And I hope you guys come out. Anyways, without further ado, the lovely and very funny Eleanor Kerrigan. Thank you for doing this, Eleanor Kerrigan.
Thank you.
Did I say Eleanor right and Kerrigan right?
Eleanor Kerrigan, yeah.
I have a hard time pronouncing words and names
sometimes.
Especially
elderly names like Eleanor.
No, it's just something I know it's with any name that is like slightly confusing to me. I'm just like, did I fuck that up?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's just a paranoia thing.
There's a young comic that I like a lot, and her name is tough. And I always, what every time it? I say it, I'm like, oh, did I do
Take
it
Take a stab at it, because I'm curious.
Tel Aviv.
Oh, I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't even attempt to take a stab at that. I would just be like, yeah, it's
awesome.
It's a name that starts with a P.
She
sounds awesome.
And she's smart. She's an engineer. I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's like that name, though, every time I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
She's the sweetest girl. I'm like, I hope I didn't mess it up.
That's actually something I noticed about you that, well, at least one time. So I used to watch you, and I was like, God, you're so fucking funny. And then we did a show together at Molly Malone's, and
oh, yeah,
you were so nice to me. I got off stage, and you told me I did a good job, and I was like, oh, she's like one of those nice female comics. Like,
oh.
And I was like so excited to hear that.
It should just be nice comic, because sometimes comics are mean to other
comics.
Well,
yeah, it's true.
Like, I mean, I guess,
yeah, I guess it is just nice comic, and, yeah.
But females are mean to other females, I guess. I don't see that.
I'm yeah.
Like a, let me rephrase that. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I guess because I've been in the comedy world so long.
Yeah.
That it's just all one. And I've watched them all be really pretty evil to one another.
Yeah. I guess you're right. It is both men and women. So are you, I've read that you're Irish Catholic. Are you full Irish? Are you like half?
No, we're all,
Italian?
We're 100%. My okay. dad's Irish. My mom's Irish.
That's cool.
My mom's side, my grandpa, she said he might have a spot of English. And I go, mm-hmm. Don't bring that up, man.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
I think
to
I'm too
things.
Irish to acknowledge them right now.
Okay, this is
too soon.
This would maybe explain what you were talking about. Or this would maybe explain the full anger.
Was I shitting on the English?
No, no.
Oh, okay, I do that
because I'm half Italian, half Irish. And I,
we that's okay, a double negative.
Yeah. So we were just talking about, basically, right, I'm talking to my listeners now, right before she came in, we were talking about like how we both have like a little bit of like, well, she's saying she's full angry, and I
oh,
think
yeah,
that might because of the full Irish. I think I have like some Irish anger and toughness, but also I'm like, but I also like food a lot.
Right.
And like that there makes me happy because that's Italian.
Your dad's Irish?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And he's tough as nails.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
He probably eats them.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So tell me about your upbringing.
I grew up in South Philly. Eagles are in the Super Bowl. It's very exciting right now.
Oh,
so
yeah.
My neighborhood's a
Congratulations.
Mess.
Congratulations.
I didn't do
are
it.
Are you into it?
I am very, extremely okay. into sports. But my mom, we live like a mile and a half from the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So the neighborhood's a mess right now. As where there people went
you
crazy.
Live a mile and a half from the stadium?
Yeah.
What the...
And it's funny because they're like, oh, these South Philly kids are wild. And I'm like, whoa, 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 Don't blame the South Philly kids. We're just outside of the... We live near Vet Stadium. We can't afford tickets to the game. None of us go to the game.
Yeah.
You know what we do? We sell t-shirts, bootleg t-shirts outside. That's what we do.
Rob the rich kids. Don't people know if kids. You live near an airport or like a stadium? It's probably that you can't access the stadium.
So when everybody was on Broad Street, all the kids from South Philly came out, of course, to celebrate.
Yeah.
But they watched it on TV. They weren't... like nobody was at the game.
You were just tailgating in your backyard.
They're like, all this stuff, like, let's go rob these rich kids that are in our neighborhood. But it's just a funny thing. Like I found out that people in the suburbs didn't have money, and mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, what are you doing out here then?
Yeah, why'd you waste your money? Yeah, why'd you waste your money out there?
But now, like, it's so weird with the hipsters and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, because my mom still owns the house we grew up in, in South Philly, and everybody either lives up the street or around the corner. You know, nobody moved. Mm-hmm. We have three siblings that live in the suburbs.
Okay.
And that's how I found out that people in the suburbs don't have money. I was like, oh, you could just waste all your money on this house so you have space, and then the kids can go to a nice public school. Whereas, like, our neighborhood, we had to go to Catholic school because the public schools were so bad. And so we didn't spend a lot on the house, mm-hmm. and we didn't have a lot of room, obviously, in a 2.5-bedroom row home.
Explain how many siblings
I have. 9 brothers and sisters.
You guys lived in a 2-bedroom home.
It's a 3.5. They call that one room a bedroom. And no, that's a glorified closet. But yes, they'll say 3 bedrooms, but it's the smallest middle room you've ever seen.
Wow. Do you know why that's so hard for me to comprehend? We didn't grow up Catholic. My dad was raised Catholic. I mean, I guess I'm like kind of Catholic, but like,
To do all the sacraments?
Well, my grandma, the one I told you about that's not feeling so well, she did baptize me in my sleep because she was worried that I may not end up being Catholic.
Old school.
Yeah, I was 3 and then admitted it to me when, like, 10 years later when we were camping. And I was like, you don't get to baptize someone in their sleep, grandma. That's weird as fuck. But
it's amazing.
So my dad has like 8 siblings. There's 8 of them total. But we're from a small town, so they could afford a big house. So they wouldn't share much room. So, because real estate's not real expensive in a small town. But I'm now realizing in a city.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like if you're in the city, it's got to be crazy expensive.
My mom's row home, mm-hmm. they're offering her like $250,000 for it.
Jesus.
$300,000. And I'm like, what?
Is she going to move or stay there?
Hell no.
Yeah.
My mom. Because that's only
going to go up. She's going to hold on. Yeah. She's going to make it so she can divvy that up between all of you guys when she dies.
She came in a wedding dress in that house, and she'll leave with a tag on her toe. I'm like, that's a damn shame, but okay. It's a morbid Irish thinking.
You're like, maybe you don't say that to your kid, but
No, she says it to everyone.
That's really funny.
She doesn't hold back. But yeah, so it was fun, though, growing up, I guess, like that. I mean, a lot of times people are like, oh, when you go home, do you stay in your old room? I'm like, I never had a room.
What was the sleeping arrangement?
What happened was, I guess, after my mom and dad used to sleep in the front room because it was bigger. And then the boys would sleep in the back room because there's 6 boys and 4 girls.
Uh-huh.
And so the boys were sleeping in the back room. But when my mom got down to the bottom 4 kids, it was like, okay, we have to rearrange this because it's too many boys in that little back room back there. So her and my dad moved to the back room and moved the boys to the front room. So she had a triple bunk bed, a double bunk bed, and a single bed in there. And then my sisters, my mom loved like girly things. Mm-hmm. She was so in that little glorified room closet thing they call.
Yeah.
She had a canopy bed in there. And I'm like, Mom, you could barely open the door.
You gotta go IKEA with this shit. When you're saving space, you gotta go minimalistic.
I know. And if she saw a Swede, she'd punch him in the face just because of IKEA. I'm serious. Like, it bothers her because IKEA never stays together.
Oh, no, it's horrible.
And when you got animalistic children who are just bouncing around uncontrollably, we break things quick. Yeah. So she
But so what was the purpose of the candy? What did she tell herself?
Well,
the
I don't know. Well, it was girly. It was her daughters. Where she had two. She had a boy and two girls. Uh-huh. Like the top four are a boy, two girls, and a boy. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, okay, we have four kids, and then there's a gap between Jimmy and Johnny, like 2.5 years, by the way, and we're only 15 years apart from eldest to youngest.
Wow.
Yeah, that's frightening if you think about it.
Just such like, the Irish
lady,
Catholic thing.
You gotta calm down. Like, but so
why did they do it?
I don't know. My dad wanted 12, and then after 12, after 10, he was like, yeah, this was a mistake, and he left. He was like, this is a lot. So
it's weird. That's exactly what happened with my dad's dad.
He's like, you know, I might have overthought this. I think, I can't handle this.
Yeah.
So he left.
I maybe took on too much.
But like,
I love that men can just leave, though. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. I'm like, my dad, I'm still close with him, and people like get mad at me. And I'm like, look, man, my house was crowded.
Yeah.
When he left, we were like, oh, good. That guy's an asshole. And now we have a little more room.
Yeah. So. Do you still talk to him?
Every day. Not every day, but yeah, a lot.
So you don't care anymore?
I talk to my mom as much, almost every day.
Yeah.
My dad, I call as often as I can. I mean, he's not like a talker and a...
Yeah.
But I make an effort to...
Yeah, you got to do that.
We used to be a lot closer, I feel like, but it's weird, like he got into a weird car accident, a bad car accident, I should say. And like, he just all of a sudden got sicker.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he's not sick. He's like 82.
Mm-hmm.
He's just getting old.
Yeah.
And so, they moved away. They sold their house in South Philly, and they live in, Rehoboth Beach in Delaware.
Oh, so did he get remarried?
Yeah. He's been with that same woman that he left my mom for.
Yeah.
And, so they moved to the, out to Delaware. And so we never see them.
Like, yeah.
But when I would go home, I would always go see my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I would stay at my mom's, of course.
Yeah.
And then I would go see my dad because me and my mom are like sister. Like, we're tight. So it's just weird that I don't get to go do that anymore.
Yeah.
And so the past, like, I'd say 2 years, it's been odd. Like, I probably have seen him twice in 2 years, whereas I used to see him.
Wait, because he's just further away now?
He's 2.5 hours away, hours away in Delaware. Okay. So it's like...
It's not.
I got
much.
A big family.
Yeah, when you go home, you got to see all of them.
Yeah, and if you're in South Philly, it's easy. I could walk to your house. I could do this, but to take a day, to go 2 hours, go, you know, spend a few, and then drive back, it takes away from.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true. Yeah,
all my other brothers and sisters that are there. I got nieces and nephews.
Yeah,
you know, I got a nephew that plays for the Minnesota Twins, so he's only in town on off seasons. You know what I mean? So it's like everybody's doing their thing. The kids are growing up, and the family's just gotten a lot bigger. So it's hard. Even my nephew Sean, he lives in Ohio. It's hard to see.
Yeah, I get that because I have it's a slightly different situation, but like I have cousins. That I, because from my dad's side of the family, because then they all spawned or whatever.
Yeah.
I have cousins that I haven't talked to in years. Like, I'm not even sure there's some that I would recognize on the street if I just ran into them.
That's funny. See, that's the good thing about, and I don't love it, but I like it about this Facebook. Like, it's not, I hate social media, but I like it for things like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can see my cousins, because my mom's sister had 10 kids too.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
My poor grandma. My grandma was an orphan, seriously orphaned by the age of 12, and then met my pop-up and married him when she was 17 or 18, something around there. And they had 4 kids, 27 grandchildren. When she passed, she had 42 great-grandchildren, and that was nearly 12 years ago. But we're already... They're up to 48 grandkids, great grandkids. I'm sorry, 48 great grandkids, and now the grandkids are having kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, so her family, because her goal was just to make a tight family that was very close and everybody knows each other, because her story was so bizarre.
Yeah,
like her mom died, I believe, a little after she was born, so she didn't know her, and then she was raised by her maternal grandparents, and or paternal. I don't know if it, shit. Now I'm messing it up. I don't know if it was her dad's parents, and then this guy that was her uncle, it raised her. And then when he died, she was 12 years old. And when this is weird, they used to have
she's
the viewings.
Like lost everyone.
I know they used to have the viewings in the house, in like in your living room. They would have an open casket.
I've seen that in movies before, it's which so I think creepy. Is so weird.
And so they had
you're basically
that.
Just inviting like a ghost in here. Like then now you're going to be haunted. Granted, I would maybe want to be haunted by someone I lost that I loved, but like
right, I guess that's like, their creepy way. Maybe I don't that's have any idea. I just remember like my. I remember hearing this story and thinking, who was in the living room dead? And because I was little.
And why? Well, I don't understand.
But it was weird. My grandmom thought that her uncle died, and the day of his viewing, they were standing in the living room. And somebody came up to her and they said, that's your father.
What the?
So she never knew that was her father her whole life. She referred to him as her uncle. So her goal was just to have a family that was so tight and so close. And we are all like that.
Yeah.
Like oddly, we try to, even the cousins, the distant cousins, we try to get together.
That's nice.
Yeah. Like if I'm in Atlanta or Florida or somewhere, like I go see those cousins down there or, you know what I mean? Anywhere I am, I try to find someone and connect at least. And now on Facebook, I think you can do that.
Yeah.
They see what you're doing, that you see what they're doing. You know, it's kind of a nice, a nicety. It's awesome.
There's a, but there's like, for me, there's just, I need to like see some of them, but like there, I just had, there's a few stragglers in the fam that like I never really knew. And then like,
do you have a lot of brothers and sisters? Or?
I only have one sister.
Oh.
Maybe my dad was like,
what lazy parents.
Yeah.
Huh?
Maybe he was just like, ah, I already grew up with a bunch of siblings. I only need two. It didn't work out so well for him.
That's great. Yeah. I guess you learn from their mistakes. I don't have any kids. That's how good I learned from my mom. And
now you're doing them a favor by not adding too much to the family. So no one's stressed.
Yeah.
No one's stressed about having to see extra.
Exactly. Yeah. And one time, because I come home and there's no baggage. Like, it's just me.
You just show up.
Yeah. It's just her that has to come over. We don't have to buy three extra tickets, just one for her. You know, it's like great. But like, I completely lost my thought. What was I going to say? My mom, something. I forgot what we were talking about. But kids, I guess, having kids, because there's so many of them now, it's just a pain in the ass to keep up with.
Kinda. Yeah. Now, do you feel like this, and you can figure out what you were going to say if you can think about it, but do you feel like having this upbringing is what maybe got you into comedy? Because it's just like, it's kind of a funny situation.
Yeah, the comedy journey for me is a bizarre one as well. It's as almost as bizarre as my upbringing.
Yeah.
Not that my upbringing was bizarre, it's just, you know, that's a lot of kids.
It's a lot,
for a little space. And I mean, we used to have so much fucking fun in there. And,
you cuss all you want.
I don't know. I get nervous.
I cuss so much on here that my mom will call me after any podcast airs, and she's like, "Ray, I just think you should stop cussing so much. It's not ladylike." I'm like, "Shut the fuck up."
Oh, we were talking about that canopy bed that my mom put in there, and I remember like the door would open and hit the side of the bed, and I'm like, "Mom, we have to get rid-. Like I have to hurdle to get in the bed. I don't understand." And so by the time I came along, I would have to sleep with my sisters in the middle room, and then my baby sister was in the crib, and my dad left when she was three. So that when my dad left, my mom kept Edie in the room with her, my baby sister, and then my sisters didn't want me sleeping with them because I was a bedwetter. So they're like, "Get out! We hate her." So my mom said I would walk the hallway and be like, "Mom, where do I sleep tonight?" She was like, "It was so sad." She's like, "Every time I think of you doing that, my heart breaks."
Oh, your mom sounds really sweet.
She's the sweetest. So what we decided to do, because no one knew if I was really a boy or a girl anyway, I had to sleep in the boys' room under the triple bunk bed.
I'm wondering, is it because of your mannerisms? Because you're very pretty.
What do you mean? Oh,
like
thank
if you're
you.
A boy or a girl?
No, yeah, because I was like I would play street ball.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
You know, like if you're playing baseball, you remember how boys would take their shirts off and tuck them in the back of their.
Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah.
No problem. Just doing that. Spitting, playing third base, you know, pretending I was Mike Schmidt.
Yeah.
Not smart. I'm just saying. And so like.
No, again.
But like
very similar type of thing. My mom literally still calls me and she's like, "Rachel, she will see me doing something even as an adult. She's like, why are you barreling around? Like, why are you so aggressive?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's just
That's how I am. And I remember this one time, I don't know if you follow sports, but mm-hmm. and this was, you're probably too young, but Tug McGraw, he was mm-hmm. a pitcher for the Phillies. Mm-hmm. And so I was a little girl-ish, and they would come to the inner city mm-hmm. to, because they weren't going to go to the projects, which was right next door. Yeah. They're like, we'll stop in this neighborhood. Everybody will be fine. And so they would come to our neighborhood, mm-hmm. and I was so excited. I was upset that Mike Schmidt wasn't coming, but Tug McGraw was there. So uh-huh. I was like, whatever. And because Mike Schmidt was like my idol. And Tug McGraw, that we were having a catch. Uh-huh. And he was like throwing the ball with all the kids, and I threw the ball, I gunned it, you know, and he goes, whoa, this little boy's got an arm. And I was like, yes,
I win,
it's working.
Did you have short hair?
Oh yeah.
So I was like, could you have like long flowing hair?
No, my mom used to try to grow my hair long because all she wanted was a little girl. Yeah. You know, and then I was just this Tasmanian devil of a tomboy.
Yeah.
Like she would comb my hair, it was down to my like the top of my ass. Mm-hmm. And it would give me headaches in my football helmet, mm-hmm. so it cut the ponytail off.
Oh, you played football?
Like, oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, this gets
added
better.
Football.
All right, so
quarterback.
I don't know if maybe they just wouldn't let us. That wasn't an option in my dad. I don't know if I would have played football. Probably not because I'm too clumsy. But I played the only again small town. We don't have a lot of sports. There's no soccer team.
We're in America.
There's no option. Yeah, but you know now they have like
they have it
polo for kids or whatever. No, my town still doesn't have soccer. It's a 3,000 person town.
Oh boy.
We have the capability of having just one sport each season, basically.
I wonder why you're clumsy. There's nothing around you. Yeah. You just fall into it.
But I played softball. And maybe that is how
I was a big softball player.
Yeah, and that's how I got was maybe because I injured myself a lot doing that because I was barreling. It was everything was like I don't know. But anyways, but the football, that's impressive that you played football.
Football was my favorite. And when I made my first Holy Communion, there was a boy that I was supposedly dating. Mm-hmm. You know how when you're kids, that's my boyfriend, we're dating.
Yeah.
And he was so cute and I was obsessed with him and I always just wanted to impress him.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, it's impressive that you can throw a football like a cannon.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's impressive that I can tackle you. When I go down.
So I made my first Holy Communion. Mm-hmm. And when we were walking back, we have to cross this little island. Mm-hmm. We call it the island, but it's just little trees. You know, it has a little grass. And
yeah.
Dog shit on there. And there's a couple trees, right? Makes the city look nice. And so we would play on there uh-huh. all day. And when I was walking back, they were playing Rumble Fumble. Some people call it Smear the Queer. Mm-hmm. We're not that offensive, Avi. And so we played other games like Chink. And anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's fine. Yeah, yeah.
Normal. But we would play Rumble Fumble, mm-hmm. which is, you know, just if you tackle them until they lose the ball, then get the ball, and then the next person. Mm-hmm. So we were playing that. They were playing that. And I was like, oh. And I ran over and played like I wasn't in my communion dress.
Oh my God.
My mother
and
was
he, now was he into it?
I don't think so.
And how has this fared for you as an adult in dating?
It's the same. I'm terrible. I'm like, oh, you're not supposed to be able to knock a ball out of a park? Wait, what? I don't understand. I'm supposed to hit it in the bus barn because I'm a bad base runner. So, yeah, I hit it over the fence. I don't know what you're saying. And they're like, you're an animal. What is wrong with you? So
I have actually had to force myself to be, and it's like I'm almost faking it, to be daintier because I'm like, I want someone to like me like as an adult because I realize like, oh, guys kind of like daintiness. They like protective because normally
they like it. They
want because normally it would be like, let's say when we're walking down the street and like some scary guy like walks towards us, I'd be like, I got it.
Yes.
But now I have to like, I'm like, oh my God, protect me. Just have to like sort of pretend. I mean, I guess it's catching on a little bit for me, but like.
One of my ex-fiancés got into an argument in the car mm-hmm. and I guess he didn't realize how angry I get.
Yeah.
I mean, he knew, but I, you know, would try to hold it back.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is why he's my ex, but this could be part of it. and then when he pulled over, he went to yell at the guy. Uh-huh. And I got out of the car because I'm like, oh, this is where, and he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, he knows. And so this is where we get out of the car and you beat up the driver and I get the passenger, right? Like, That's not right.
Yeah, it's not sexy. You're like, I want to have your back. And like, also, I love a good fight.
Get in the car. And I was like, what? I thought we were fighting. Yeah. Like,
I showed up to the fight. Isn't that what you
this
do?
This is how I throw down. I'm from South Philly. If one of my friends gets out of the car, I get out of the car.
Yeah.
If somebody grabs a weapon, I find another weapon. Like,
that's how people
where did you grow up? Like, in my head, I'm like,
I wonder the girls that actually are dainty and know the rule of like, don't get involved and all that. Like, I wonder what the upbringing is. I don't know.
Like, anybody where I grew up from, like in South Philly, knows that if a guy gets into a fight, you don't stand on the side like, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh, you help.
Yeah.
You get in it.
Yeah. You go, yeah.
You try to break it up. Like, or, you know, you take your heels off, use those as weapons. There's all kinds of stuff you can do. But
it's almost like, I don't know if you saw the SNL sketch with, it was fairly recently. It was every boxer's, in a movie's girlfriend from it's Boston, but like,
of course, the same way.
Yeah. And it's the character, I got to show you afterwards. It's so funny. It's just like how aggressive the girl is. I'm like, it's so accurate.
Yeah.
Every female character. Did you see The Fighter with what's her?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's just one of those VH1 girls. Yeah. MTV girls or whatever she called them. It was hysterical.
But just, she's ready to throw down all the sisters, all the mom. They're just so aggressive.
And if you fight one of them, you have to fight the whole family. That's why people didn't bother us, because they're like, well, if I fight Eleanor, I got to fight the whole family. Yeah. And I don't feel like it. Yeah, like, I don't have the strength
for that. Yeah.
I'm not going to fight Eleanor, but Edie's pretty tough. And then Karen's going to get in it. And Kathleen's going to get in it. What are we going to do? It's just like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. So has this, are you dating someone now?
No, right now I'm single. Yeah. Avi. Putting the vibe out.
I just met someone. I don't know if that's already going well because I am so aggressive, but I think I'm trying. I'm doing the hey.
Good for you. Yeah. You got to lay back a little. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you're going to pick that up. Good. Yeah, like, well, pick it up, Peggy. You know, like, just refrain from saying
got in a fight the other day because he got actually mad about something and I didn't. And I was trying so hard to be calm and be like, I get it. And finally I was like, pull over the car. And I got out of the car. I was like, stop being such a fucking pussy. And then I was like, I walked down the street. I was like, yeah, that wasn't a good moment of mine.
It's not. Yeah. I can't hold back from certain things. Like, I can't not say how I feel.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, how I feel is just going to mess up how you feel.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to compliment anybody or anything. And so, I try to be dainty. Like, I have, this is a funny thing. If people know me, like really know me, and they see me around a guy, like I have had tons of boyfriends. Mm-hmm. That came out wrong, but you know what I mean? Like,
I know what you meant.
But if they see me around a guy that I'm like kind of smitten with, they'll be like, oh, she is a girl. Look at her. And then I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, immediately go back to my exterior, whatever that is.
I didn't like feeling that emotion. Don't do that to me.
That's my alter ego. Shut up. Yeah. I'm just trying to get laid. We all have to work at getting laid.
Yeah.
And but like, so when I left Philly, like, to do stand-up, I was a waitress at the Comedy Store for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm. I read that. You were an actress first, right?
Yes.
I read it in your
but
bio.
But I wasn't doing stand-up at all. Like, I had no interest in stand-up.
So even working there for 12 years, you never caught the bug. You never watched it and were like...
No, and even one night, one of my favorite people in the world, he goes by Willie Bingo now, but when I knew him, his name was Russell. I don't know what happened. He changed his name.
Should we talk to him about the name change? Is it working for him?
Oh, I break his balls all the time. I haven't seen him in a while, but when he started the name change, he goes, this is my real name. I'm like, well, then you should have started with that.
Yeah.
Because I hate when somebody has a name and then they're like, oh, I'm changing it. I'm like, no, bitch, I know you as this.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a good move because I feel that about I wish I could change some things about my name because no one can find me because no one spells it right. And it's just so annoying.
Oh, wow. Why is it spelled?
Rachel, R-A-C-H-A-E-L. I don't know why that's so confusing to people. Because I think most people, I guess, think it's R-A-C-H-E-L. It's because we live in, and I think that might be the Jewish way to spell. I don't know. I have no
idea.
It could
be.
Who knows?
I don't know.
But anyways, go ahead.
But anyway, so So Russell or Willie. I can't with these fuckers. Bruce, Caitlin, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that we were I was waiting tables and mm-hmm. it was Sunday night. We were doing, it was open mic. Cause back in the day, Mondays was open mic. Like mm-hmm. when Mitzi first opened the Comedy Store
mm-hmm.
and then Monday night football started and it was screwing up her Monday nights.
Yeah.
Cause Monday nights was the hottest night to be at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Main room was packed. That was the show. And then you showcase in the original room. So it was like really hot jumping. And uh-huh. then Monday night football kind of started and uh-huh. it ruined everything. So she switched it to Sundays and it never mm-hmm. really became the same. And now it's back to Mondays.
Yeah.
Because Monday night football is early and it doesn't really impede it
uh-huh.
as much as you think.
Yeah.
And so, but when it first came out, Monday night football was hot.
Mm-hmm.
But now people DVR things. They go out to watch. You know what I mean? It ends at 8 o'clock uh-huh. in LA. So it doesn't really, 8:30 maybe.
Yeah,
so
it doesn't really do anything. Yeah.
If you come at 9, mm-hmm. you still got a killer show. So anyway, now it's back to Mondays. But it was a Sunday night. And Russell was, Willie was hosting. God damn it. And so he was hosting. Yeah. And he was hosting and no comics were around.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, your next comic, you might know her.
Uh-huh.
She's waiting on you. And he brought me up. And I go,
wait, literally.
Like, yeah, this was maybe 8 years into working there.
Yeah.
And I went on
stage. He didn't warn you.
No. And I just roasted him.
Uh-huh.
And then I roasted this other comic. Oh, God, what was his name? And then... Willie kept sitting on the side going, tell the black joke, you know, the one where he used the N-word all the time. And I'm like, what? Like he was trying to embarrass me.
Yeah.
And put me on a, like, make me something. So I was like, oh, I don't tell that one, only in small, like just coming back with stupid, yeah. sarcastic, mean, whatever. And it was fun, but I was like, I would never do this.
Yeah.
And I remember getting off stage and going, you people are sick. That yeah. you think that's fun.
Yeah.
And I
so what went part about of it did you not like on the first time? You didn't like, maybe because it was a surprise?
Well, there was nobody there.
Yeah.
One.
Oh, because it's open mic. Yeah.
It was just weird. And yeah. the guy, I can't think of his name, but I could see his face and he kept trying to feed me lines. And I was like, who are you? And he called himself something so ridiculous, like the ultimate comic or something like that.
I could see why you didn't like comedy as much the first time you got on stage, because you were used to being around them and were like, probably like, okay, you guys, like you saw all the inner workings of how shitty they could probably be to each other.
Not only how much they hated each other, watching them kiss Mitzi's ass, mm-hmm. watching what they had to do to get, mm-hmm. Stage time.
Yeah.
Anything, begging my best friend, was this guy Freddie Soto, and Freddie unfortunately passed away in 2005.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And for years, Freddie would be like, dude, you should be doing stand-up. And I'm like, Freddie, I want you to come see my play this week, because I'm an actress. I'm going to be Meryl Streep. And he's like, every time I come see you in a play, you either just got raped, you were gangbanged by the football team, you lost all your children. Like, why are you doing all these sad... What's wrong with you?
So you reenacted Sophie's Choice on stage. Yes.
Like I couldn't wait to cry. You know what I mean? Like maybe it's because I didn't do that in my real life.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I do, but not like, I'm not a cry baby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just and now like, you realize suck it up, move
now
on.
Now that you do stand up, you just cry off stage about the now it's experience of being
fucked up. When I tell you a life change, it was a total life change. Mm-hmm. Like I quit working at the Comedy Store
mm-hmm.
in 2005, April, I believe. And then I got engaged mm-hmm. to my second ex-fiance. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get married. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my life's going to be. I'm not sure what's mm-hmm. happening.
I'm going to put a pin in that in a second, because I want to find out how you've, no one's ever proposed to me and I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but keep going.
Don't worry. It's... just
but I don't even care about getting married that much. I just don't know what vibe I'm putting again. The vibe.
Okay, the vibe. Yeah, the vibe is good. I don't know how I get engaged. I don't know why people
you
ask
might be
me.
Better with men than you think you are.
I think I am, because I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And I you know, I don't talk during sport events because I'm that way too. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes girls will be like, why aren't we having a Super Bowl party? I'm like, bitch, I will stab your family.
I do that too. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
You want to have a Super Bowl party?
No, I'm saying I'm doing all the same. I don't know. Why no one? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, I would just like, I won't let people in. Now I watch sporting events by myself.
Yeah.
Unless I'm at my mom's house, like I'll be home for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll watch. There's too many. My mom has a revolving door still.
Yeah.
Like
she's used to having a lot of people around.
On New Year's Eve, we had a party and there was 30 people in that house. Like, it's insanity.
So funny. So you quit.
The comedy store, got engaged. My second ex-fiancé was Andrew Dice Clay.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering that because in your bio, it sounded like he was very encouraging to you about
totally encouraging. Stand-up. And one I was like,
did they
friends date
or did they just?
No, we dated. Yeah. I make a lot of mistakes. And so I'm kidding.
I've never heard anyone say anything bad about him. I don't know anything.
Yeah. No, he's a good guy. It's not that part. It's me. Mm-hmm. And I broke it off. Like it was, and then it was a mutual thing. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like it was time.
Yeah.
And I think what happened was when Freddie passed, cause we got engaged in April, Freddie died in July. So it was 2005. Like it was very close and it was just like earth shattering to me.
Yeah. I could see that.
When Freddie, it was the worst, craziest thing. And he died July 10th. And then on July 30th, my grandma died.
Mm-hmm.
My tight that like raised me. So my life was like, whoa, like spinning, not like, oh, a little blurry. I was like, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
So I completely shut down on Andrew and it wasn't his fault. You know what I mean? And then he was just trying to get me out of it. So by December, our engagement was off. Like, you know what I mean? Like it was quick. And then
it was April, December, you said. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it was pretty fast.
How long have you been engaged at that point?
We got engaged in April, but we were together for almost 5 years at that point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so then we went like back and forth after December till like that summer. And then it was like, meh. We both, at first I called it off. Then, you know, it became, we got back together. Then he called it off. Then it was, you know, then it became like, you know what? We're good. And we just like we joke about how we just pounded, we just literally fist pumped and we're like, all right, I'll see ya.
I feel really invested in your guys' relationship.
Is that terrible?
Is there no chance you can get back together?
No. He's great.
Is he married or
something? He got remarried and it got even weirder, our relationship, because he remarried a great girl.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out between them. They were together like 8 years.
Yeah.
And they just recently split up. Mm-hmm. But I was dating her uncle.
How did you even know? How did you know her uncle? Was that, did she introduce
she's
you?
She's younger. She's, yeah.
But did she set you guys up or?
No, he was just at the house. I remember we were having a party at Andrew's.
Yeah.
And I was always at Andrew's. And so she invited her uncle. And I was like, hey, keep that guy away from me. That's dangerous, you know? And she just started, she goes, no, you would never. He's nuts. And I go, yep, perfect.
Yeah, you're like, into that.
Hello.
Yeah.
And then we wound up going out for about 3 years. He's my last, we just broke up.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I got a story for you. My college ex-boyfriend, he passed away. It wasn't when I was dating him though, I did take it very hard. It was like pretty, it wasn't that long afterwards. And, I don't know if it was cause I was so attached to that situation, I think it's just, it was a fluke. So my college ex-boyfriend passes away. I go to the funeral. I was always close with his brother in college, but then I didn't date his brother. Don't worry. It did cross my mind.
Don't worry.
It did cross my mind at a certain point.
Okay.
Cause I was like, maybe that's how RJ will come back. I don't know.
Grief does that to you. It'll freak you out.
Yeah. And so we all reconnected at the funeral or whatever. And then, you're going to think I'm so weird. And then,
not because of that story, but yeah.
Oh, it gets weirder. So then a couple years later, Ryan, who is RJ's brother, calls me and is like, hey, I want to film a documentary on my friend Robbie, who is paralyzed, and he's going to be the first person to get this surgery that is going to make him walk again through the Christopher Reeve Foundation. You're the only person I know in LA. Let's do it. So we put this whole thing together. Da, 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 da. I end up falling in love with the paralyzed friend when we're filming the thing and dated him for years. I actually thought I was going to marry him. So it was like, it was this weird thing where, and they were all friends too. Like he was friends with my ex that had died.
I remember this bit.
Yeah.
You do it on stage. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. And then the paralyzed guy broke up with me because his mom hated me. Things are awesome.
Did he get the surgery? No.
He did. And he's great. And we're still really good friends.
Did it work? What does he have?
He was hit by a car.
Okay. So it's a spinal injury?
Yeah. He was hit by a car. His story's crazy too. He had just literally won the College World Series playing baseball, this poor guy. And like a car, just a hit and run drunk driver or something hit him and drove off. Like it was a couple months later. It was like, he was just standing at the end of his driveway. And, he got the surgery and basically he did stand up for the first time. He hadn't stood in years. He'd been paralyzed for that long. He's still in a wheelchair. He's still paralyzed, but the surgery really did help him a lot. And I'm actually supposed to talk with him soon. We keep missing each other's calls. I want to see if he's doing much better.
Yeah.
Because we've been broken up for like 6 years and he's got a new girlfriend and we're just friends now.
Yeah.
But I think he's still like, it definitely helped him to be more active and everything.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh,
like good. He can do it. And well, everything with paralyzed, it's like your bladder function, everything's all messed up. It healed a lot of that stuff. And so it's,
that's why I'm
but he's not just miraculously walking.
Right.
Like they'd sort of thought maybe, but he was a miracle. I mean, it was all over the news. It was crazy.
Yeah, that's wow. That's
yeah, he awesome. Literally hadn't stood in 5 years, and then all of a sudden, they do the surgery, and he recovers from the surgery.
That'd be great if they could come up with something that would,
hopefully.
Jesus.
Yeah. Anyways, so you can feel better about dating your ex's new wife's uncle.
Well, the moral of that story with me and Andrew is that we're looking for a new family to ruin.
Yes.
we both split up with both.
I think at the same time.
No, a little. I was before them. I was a little bit before them. So, but that's me. I'm a short-termer now.
So you ended up being engaged to the uncle?
I didn't.
He was just your most recent boyfriend right now.
We were going to get married in Vegas one time. Like, it didn't happen, but we...
But you just broke up with him not that long ago.
It's been 2 years now.
Yeah, okay.
But those two just broke up.
Got
like,
it.
They're a little fresher off the market.
Yeah.
But we always joke about, all right, we need a new family because...
Yeah,
we kind of enjoy
who else could you
being able to do things together. Like if you have a family function, like I always see Andrew
I
has
think you guys
kids.
Could just get back together.
No, Andrew has two kids that I adore. And when we were dating, they were 7 and 11.
Yeah,
that's my favorite restaurant. And no, I'm kidding. But they were that age. So I'm very close with them.
Yeah.
And really, we were together for 5 years. So that's prime years for them. You know what I mean? Like
in
growing up. And like, so to this day, those two and I are very close. Like we all call each other, talk to each other. You know, if they have problems, they call me, I call them. You know what I mean? Like, like a mom, but I never say I'm a mom because I'm not their mom.
Yeah.
I'm just their friend or whatever. Like I wouldn't even call myself a stepmom. Mm-hmm. I don't like that word. Mm-hmm. Is that weird?
Yeah.
And it's funny because...
Wait, but you didn't marry... Wait, you never got married. You
No, we never got married, but the kids will say, she's like our stepmom. And I'm like, I don't... Because I don't...
You don't want them to get confused and all
I
that.
I just don't like that. The mother's the mother and that's it. Like I don't understand that. Unless the mom like passed away or something horrible. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like their mom was still around. They're close with her
totally,
too.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't like... to feel like I'm taking from...
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, that's I didn't do anything. I mean, I'm just there for them. We hang out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm more like a buddy, if you will.
I think I sidetracked you on what you were saying about Andrew. Oh, keep going.
Oh, no worries. Well, Andrew... Okay, so then we broke it off. And I'm really good when I break up with people. Mm-hmm. Or like I said, Andrew and I, it was mutual at that point. So I'm like, I'll help you. I'll hook you up. You know, I was trying to set him up on dates and stuff. Like, I'm like so good. Like, yeah, you should have somebody because I'm good at being alone.
Yeah.
Actually a little too good. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
If I liked cats, it would be even scarier.
But I'm not a cat person.
I can't be responsible for anything. I don't even have a goldfish. Like, I have nothing.
I don't either. No live plants?
Yeah.
Nothing. No dog. People are like, wait a minute, get a dog. It's so comforting. I'm like, and I'm not wiping its ass. Yeah. I'm not doing
and
that.
And then also, get like, I'm going to have to leave it when I go do stuff. Like, then I'm going to feel bad.
It's, I have gigs, and now I, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not traveling with this fucking thing in my purse.
I'm not bringing it inside of a restaurant. I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm a waitress.
I don't need an emotional support. Yes, of course, they probably need emotional support, but I'm not really willing to address that about myself.
I can't do it. I know I need emotional support, and a dog's not going to help me. Yeah. A dog's going to bite me because it's going to get annoyed with me.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the thing is like when we fully split up, like I started like, I was like, I'm going to do a one woman show. Mm-hmm. Freddie always used to break my balls. At least do a one woman show.
Yeah.
You know? And all the comics that I'm friends with at the Comedy Store, like my closest friends are like Dom Irrera, Dice Clay. You know what I mean? Like they were the people that were there every night.
Yeah.
Like Rogan, all those guys, they were just there every night. And so they were all I knew. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them would say, you should be doing stand-up, stuff like that. So I was like, whatever. I'm not listening to you people. So when I started doing the one-person show, I called Mitzi, the owner of the Comedy Store, because I was her assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, they're going to, this guy runs a show, Adam Barnhart, on Sunday nights. I said, he said I could work out my one-woman show. And I just want to check with you if that's okay. I don't want to cross a boundary. I'll go somewhere else if I'm doing that wrong. And she was like, no, honey, it sounds great. And I was like, really? Because she loved one-person shows, and that's what she wanted the belly room for.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? She wanted you to develop. Whoopi Goldberg developed her one-woman show
true,
up there.
Is it true, though, that it was meant for, because I read the book We're Dying Up Here. I'm Dying Up Here.
Yeah.
Was it true that it was started just as, it was supposed to just be for women to be up there?
No.
No, it's not. No. Okay.
There's a lot of facts missing in that book.
Yeah.
That room was just an extra room, and they did shows up there. But what happened was there was such an overflow from the original room.
Yeah.
And the girls that Mitzi wanted to develop weren't strong enough. They were getting buried by the guys downstairs. So she put them in the belly room to develop.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't specifically for women.
It wasn't just because she hated women.
No, everybody says that. She didn't hate women.
Yeah.
She loved women.
Yeah.
She did more for female comics.
Yeah,
she took chances on women that nobody would ever in their right mind.
That's really cool to hear.
And so she did a show, Girls of the Comedy Store, on the Playboy channel. I know that sounds gross, but it wasn't, they weren't provocative. Yeah. It was, they had a real channel and they wanted comedy. And there was a lot of great female comics on there. And so the girls, what happened was she had them upstairs doing like the overflow from the original room.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she would come up to say, okay, there's seats downstairs, people would say, no, these girls are great. We're going to stay up here.
Oh, cool.
So Mitzi was like, oh, and then the guys started coming up and going, hey, we want to be on that show. And Mitzi was like, no, get downstairs. Like, they did that.
Yeah,
they did that. So then, and of course,
gosh, it's so cool to hear a real life story from him, because I've always wondered, because I read the book and like, I don't know.
Ah, some dude wrote it that doesn't know her that well and painted her terribly. And it's like they make her out to be this evil monster.
Yeah.
Like she never did anything for comics at all. And she was just an evil person. She's a booker.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, she's a booker. You think about anybody that books any comedy club anywhere. When you don't get booked, what do? You don't like that person.
Yep.
You paint him as a dick.
Mm-hmm.
That person's responsible for this person killing themselves. Absolutely not. If somebody kills themselves, they killed themselves.
Yeah.
It's in the title.
Oh,
he killed himself.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody made him do it
or
her do it. They did it to themselves.
Yeah.
My best friend, who died in 2005, had an accidental overdose.
Uh-huh.
He was partying. He knew he was going too far.
Yeah.
He did it. He was going through a tough time.
Yeah.
It is none of the other people's fault. He's responsible for himself. And that's my best friend. I'd say that about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he is responsible. He knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was an accidental overdose in that, maybe he didn't want to kill himself, but he did want to get high enough to not feel anything.
Well, I think most overdoses are typically usually accidental.
Yeah.
But
His thing that took him, he was already health-wise not good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so then he fell off the wagon for the third time. So he's drinking, doing a little coke. These particular two nights before he passed, he wasn't doing coke because it wasn't in his system. It's a
3 days.
You can look it up.
I know.
Yeah.
I've drug tested a boyfriend before. I know the facts.
but I'm saying, like, if you look up his autopsy, yeah, that doesn't come up.
Yeah, because it takes cocaine. I think it goes out of your system in 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. So he, and his phone, we went through it. Mm-hmm. He was trying to get that dealer on the phone. So, I mean, there was like people at the Comedy Store that were blaming the drug dealer. And I'm like, who blames the drug dealer?
Yeah. I want to make it clear to my listeners, by the way, I don't do cocaine. This is not why I know that. It's because if you guys know, well, I shouldn't out someone, but I'm sure you could guess who I drug tested.
I love that you drug tested somebody.
Yeah, I woke him up in the, because he was lying to me. I woke him up one morning. I woke up earlier than him and I went to Rite Aid and I knew he had a drug problem because, so I don't want to say some of this. I'll tell you later. I knew he had a drug problem I knew he was doing drugs and he was just straight up lying to me. Because I've never really done it, but I'm not an idiot. Like I can see behaviors. And so finally I was like, I refuse to be lied to. And so I woke up like way earlier than him and I went to Rite Aid. I bought a drug test. I read it into it and then I tapped him on the shoulder and woke him up when it came back. And I was like, hey, when you pee in the morning, pee in this cup. And then he couldn't get out of it at that point. I like forced him to, because how was he gonna lie his way out of that? And so yes,
I can't believe he did it.
Well, he did try to lie his way out of it, but it's like it was ridiculous.
Yeah, because my first ex-fiance, he had a problem and it developed like while we were together. He used recreationally, and this was an odd thing. He had a client that needed a place to stay.
Yeah.
And when the client came over, he had like a briefcase. And I was like, oh boy, he's on the run with a briefcase, whatever. Yeah. So I was like, this is weird. So I left because I thought, let me give them privacy. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to, it's his client. Yeah. I don't want to. So I went home. We weren't living together at this point. I think we were engaged. No, I moved in right after we got engaged. So what happened was the guy had pure cut cocaine on him, and my ex was like, oh yeah, I party once in a while. And he did recreationally for years.
Yeah.
And at this point he was 34 years old or 35.
Yeah.
So he tried it and he got so hooked on the pure cut.
Oh Jesus.
That I guess the chemicals that they add to the whatever's washed down that people do here and there didn't really juice him up, but that took his life nearly. Like, wow.
Is he sober now? Hopefully.
Yes.
Okay,
thank God. And is married with a baby and just doing well, but doesn't live here anymore.
Yeah.
And is out of the business that he was in. And it was just crazy because it was like seeing a different person.
Yeah.
And you can't get that all the time. So he couldn't get high enough. And so he would chase it in any way he can. I took him to Betty Ford. I took him to Promises. He left in the middle of the night while I was home in Philly. I was like, shit.
Yeah.
So then I took him to Betty Ford. And at the end of Betty Ford, he started like, he had other people living with him because I guess it fell so fast that we got engaged. I moved in with him and then moved out right away. I think I lived with him for like a month or two, maybe 2 months, because like you got him to take a drug test. Uh-huh. I'm like, I know he's doing stuff. So I found this little vial of cocaine in his pants when I was doing his laundry.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, what is this? Like a moron. I've never done drugs.
Yeah.
I know what drugs are and I get it. I've seen weird shit, but I guess I never...
See, I had never done drugs either, but I could just tell it was like, there had to be an explanation for what his behavior was. It
of
was
course.
Like, I was like, I don't understand.
But you went and got a drug test.
So
I did the dumbest thing. I opened it, went like that, put it on my finger and touched my tongue. I was like, what the fuck? My tongue went numb immediately. And I was like, what the hell is this stuff? Like, how dumb am I?
Well, I will say, actually, I did something somewhat similar because I was curious. So sorry, Mom, just deal with it. I have barely tried it like once because so the second thing I did when I was, it was after I drug tested him. I can't remember. I then was at like a party and he was like, I don't know if he was in a freaking closet or a bathroom with a bunch of people. And I was like, That's not, people don't do that. A bunch of dudes don't go in the bathroom together. Like, people don't do that.
Oh, yeah, they do if they're and doing.
So, yeah. But in my brain, I'm like, I know something's up here. And so I banged on the door and I was like, and I basically kind of caught them. And I was like, I was like, what is this shit? And I did the same thing. I tested it.
It's called a freeze. Yeah. I knew what it's called. And then, I knew everything.
And then what freaked me out is I was like, that's why sometimes I would kiss him in the middle of the day. And his taste lips, it. And I was yeah. like, why do his lips taste numb? And he'd be like, oh, it's just some chapstick I'm using. I'm like,
it tastes weird. It tastes like yeah. metal or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So trust weird. Me. I know too much about it.
Investigative tactics. Off. Yeah.
But yeah, I got rid of that one because I mean, we had to, I had no choice. But when after Betty Ford, he learned how to get higher in mm-hmm. there. And it was like, dude, you don't, I called one friend that I knew that knows everything about drugs. And mm-hmm. this was a particular comic that Mitzi got sober a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like she paid for his
that's so nice of her.
Recovery. She did it a lot. She tried to open something where it would help comics get recovery and never got the funding that she needed.
Yeah.
But yeah, she always wanted to help. Of course she did Party too with comics. She just didn't have the crazy.
She didn't have an addictive personality,
maybe? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, she would party with Pryor.
Because it was just the times that she was probably just,
And so it was like, she's like, I would do this and that, but never, like, it just didn't impede her life the way it would a lot of others.
Yeah.
And this particular guy was one of them. And his name's Argus Hamilton. Mm-hmm. He's amazing.
And his story's in the book. Argus.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I know, but I think he's probably would be open to talk about it. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. He's one of the best. Yeah, and if anybody ever needs help.
He talks about it on stage, I think.
Yes. If anybody ever needs help, he's like a great guy to run to. Yeah. So I called him because I was like, and he goes, hold on a second. Tell me what's in the room. And I told him everything. And he was like, you're going to have to get out of there, honey. And he was like, you can't give it, like, he's too far gone.
Yeah.
And he has to hit us bottom.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand that because that was my fiance, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that one really broke my heart because I was so in love with him. Like, when Andrew and I split up, it was like, hey, okay, buddy, cool. We ran the timeout. But with him, I was devastated.
Yeah.
Like, it took a long time mm-hmm. for me to get back up. And, but him, Argus telling me to go, he meant like, I can't fix him.
Yeah. It's like, cause he's trying to tell you not to be codependent.
I had to go to the
Al-Anon thing.
Al-Anon
cause you can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Cause it was hard for me not to assist, help. And I had already been doing that for a year and not realized it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I didn't know that all, like, it got so far
mm-hmm.
and I didn't realize that had happened when he was with his client, you know? So we went a whole nother year with me basically hiding what he was doing because he was a comedy agent.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew all his clients.
Yeah.
His clients were at the comedy store every night. And, you know.
Well, there's also probably part of it where you didn't want him to die. You're probably worried about him. So you're just sticking
but
around
because
you're like.
Protective of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're like, yeah, he's not calling me back. I'm like, oh, well, he's, you know. And I'm making excuses and I'm enabling and I'm, you know, there's a million things I was doing for about a good year, maybe a little more. But then, whatever, that went away.
So then, well, I'm sorry.
But then
I keep
now we're back to
you.
The comedy.
So yeah, then, so then you do your one woman show in the belly room. I'm sorry, I hope I'm not keeping you too long. I just find you very interesting.
No
we'll
worries,
do like,
you're good.
We'll do like...
What time is it? I'm good.
We'll do like 15 more minutes or something. I don't want to keep you too long.
No, it's because my friend is... another old boyfriend texting. See, I'm good. I keep him around.
You're doing fine.
I keep him like close. Like,
it's like you're just toying with him at this point.
No, he's married with a kid. Yeah. I love it. We were just, he was a door guy at the comedy store.
Yeah.
And after.
Okay, maybe this is why all of them haven't worked out because they're all associated with comedy. And I'm thinking comics are the worst people to date.
Well, comics.
I really wanted to maybe date a comic at a certain point. Because I was like, oh, well, maybe, not wanted, I only liked one ever.
Well,
I was like, well, maybe we're the same lifestyle. And then I was like, no, comics cannot date each other, probably.
Look at Segura and Pazinski, Christina Pazinski and Tom Segura. They're great. They're having their second child together.
Well, I think it's rare.
It is rare.
There's Moshe
Rich
Kasher
Voss
and
Bonnie McFarlane.
Yeah, it's...
It's rare.
It's rare.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. I mean,
I don't know. I think it's rare. It can go either way. It can be beneficial, or it can be, especially if you're a person that like is way, if it could bring you down necessarily to like date someone with an addiction, it's like maybe not a good idea. Like I can't date someone with an addiction just because I have before and it's just too sad and too hard.
Right. And dating like, me is like dating someone with an addiction because I have to be on stage. Yeah. I have to go out. Mm-hmm. I have to go. We're not having Netflix and chill night.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? We'll do that in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe. I don't have to do a podcast. You know what I mean?
I'm so sorry the podcast cut off early. My card on my recording equipment got full. But I'm going to have her back on to keep telling these like cool stories. And, you know, go see Eleanor live. She's incredible. She will be at February 23rd, 24th, and 25th. She's touring. She's at the Canyon in Agoura Hills with Andrew Dice Clay, the Rose in Pasadena, and the Canyon again, another Canyon, I don't know, in Santa Clarita. February 23rd, 24th, 25th, and follow her on social media. It's at EJ Kerrigan. That's EJKERRIGAN. And listen to our podcast on the All Things Comedy Network. All right. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.